In that connection.
Ayam
Shlokaha. There is a famous, is this famous verse? Priyavratam. Coming from King Priyavrata. Vamsham. The dynasty. Imam. This. Virajaha. King Viraja. Chalama. Ud-bhavaha. The source of 100 sons, headed by Shakajit, Akarut, decorated, Atiyalam, very greatly, Kircha, by his reputation, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suraganam, the demigods. Yata, just as. Translation. There is a famous verse about King Viraja because of his high qualities and wide fame. King Viraja became the jewel of the dynasty of King Priyavrata, just as Lord Vishnu, by his transcendental potency, decorates and blesses the demigods. So, purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Within a garden, a flowering tree attains a good reputation because of its fragrant flowers. Similarly, if there is a famous man in the family, he is compared to a fragrant flower in a forest. Because of him, an entire family can become famous in history. Because Lord Krishna took birth in the Yadu dynasty, the Yadu dynasty and the Yadavas have remained famous for all time. Because of King Viraja's appearance, the family of Maharaja Priyavrata has remained famous for all time. So thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Glories of the Descendants of King Priyavrata. So, Tatriyam Shlokaha Priyavratam Vamsham Himam Virajas Charam Bodhbhavaha Akarot Ak Yalam Kircha Vishnu Suraghanam Yata. So, Om Ganat Vrindasha. Niranjana Shlokaya Chakshuru Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So another thing that Srila Prabhupada said was that if you have one sandalwood tree in a forest, then the whole forest becomes fragrant. So in other words, that's in reference to one member in the family who is Krishna conscious, because he can liberate the whole family. Of course, we know that so many generations forward and backwards of a family, and also horizontally, actually there's vertical and horizontal, I'll explain what I mean by that. Vertical means, of course it means up and down, but it means your ancestors and your descendants. Ancestors means your father, father's father, father's father's father, father's father's father, you know, all the way back, not all the way back to Lord Brahma, but sometimes it's described 10 or 11 generations. And then in the fold going forward, your kids, if you're not a sannyasi, and your kids' kids, and the kids' kids, and the kids' kids, like that, they all get liberated. Pretty cool. And then horizontal means your brother. You understand the term horizontal?
Yes.
That means like the same generation, basically. Your brother, your sister, her husband, his wife, their children. I think you get the idea. Your uncle, Kaka Shri, Mama Shri, anyway. They get liberated too. So this was, of course, this particular statement was utilized a lot when Prabhupada was preaching in America in the early days, because basically many people or many family members opposed the devotees joining the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, in fact, they posed to such an extent that sometimes they hired psychologists, what we call deprogrammers, to steal the devotees away. And they took out legal records. You know, they went to the court to get custody of their children who were over 21, so they could take them away from Krishna consciousness. Even similar thing happened to me. Of course, I wasn't kidnapped. When I went to visit my father one time, he had introduced me to his friend who happened to be a psychiatrist. He said, "I'd like you to meet Dr. So-and-so, who's my friend." And I just shook his hand, "Yeah, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you." And all of a sudden my father said, "Oh, I gotta go away. You just talk to my friend." So my father went away for like 2 hours, and there I was with a psychiatrist. And he was asking me the questions. "Are you happy? Do you ever get depressed? Do you ever get angry?" And of course, I knew what he was doing. I mean, not, I wasn't born yesterday. I said, are you happy? I asked the psychiatrist, "Do you ever get depressed?" I said, "I'm happy. I'm serving God." "But what are you doing with your human form of life?" So the psychiatrist, after I finished with him, he thought he was crazy rather than me. So, interesting exchange. So, of course, therefore, I understood that, you know, even if my father and everybody else didn't take up Krishna consciousness, I was going to liberate them, and I didn't have to worry about it. Another thing happened with my mother, of course. My mother arranged, I mean, she was putting more pressure on than my father. She arranged for her friends to keep calling me in the temple or contacting me and telling me she was dying because I joined the Hare Krishna movement. And so, of course, I was normal American, pretty detached from the family. I said, "Well, if she dies, she'll take a better birth in her next life. No problem." You know, guilt. You know, they, actually the parents often, especially in Indian culture too, they have these guilt trips, you know.
Yes.
"How can you do this to me? You're killing me." Of course, my mother's still alive. She hasn't died. She's 91 years old, and now she's favorable. She, my father passed away like 25, 30 years ago. But now she goes to Rathi Ashram and everything like that. So it's proof that if one becomes a devotee, eventually, even if the family members are opposed, not even here in Fiji, you know, we have preached to so many young people, and parents say, "You cannot take initiation because, you know, they're afraid of losing their kid." Of course, many times I assure them, "You're not going to lose your kid. Kid's going to become a devotee. He's still going to become a doctor." I mean, just look at Arjuna. He's becoming a doctor. He hasn't been lost to the family or anything like that. You know, he'll still be going to be whatever he's going to be, but it will be Krishna conscious. It will be moral. But the parents sometimes are really not, are really opposed to that. I mean, let's say even in America, sometimes there's been instances where the parents have offered their children drugs. "Just leave the movement. I'll buy your marijuana for you. Just leave this Hare Krishna movement." Or my father offered me $100,000 just to leave the movement, which I refused, obviously. So, and of course, here in Fiji, you know, the parents many times are opposed to the child taking initiation. We see this, you know, "I got to consult my mother." And I always reply, "Well, I consult your mother. Just do it." And then sometimes we even have to give people a secret initiation. Not in the temple room. We've done that sometimes. Not so much in Fiji, but in America I had one disciple. Can't mention his name because he'll get in trouble with his parents. And, you know, he's from South India and he's getting his PhD in a big major university. And his parents are paying for it, so he's afraid of losing the money from his parents paying for the university. So he said, "I want to take initiation, but can't tell my parents." And I said, "All right, meet me in my house." Or whatever. We turned off, actually we did it in the temple room, but we turned off all the cameras in the temple. You know, we have these cameras that go on the internet in the temple room. So we turned them off or put some paper in front of them or something like that. Turn off the microphones and everything like that, and gave them initiation. And then, but still, you know, all of his friends still call him by his non-devotee name. And it's, you know, it's really interesting. But we have to be determined that if we become devotees, the whole family becomes blessed. I mean, just like the example of the demon family that Prahlad Maharaj appeared in. You know, Prahlad Maharaj's father was far from the most ideal father. He was what we call nowadays a child abuser. I mean, I don't think there's any child abuser nowadays that has done things to the extent that Hiranyakashipu has done. You were, isn't it? I mean, I haven't heard of any man throwing his son into a boiling vat of oil. I have not heard of that. Or throwing off a cliff once in a while, they do nowadays. But other things, you know, poison, snakes, having the wife feed poison. I mean, he's definitely a child abuser, definitely low quality person. However, the son became a devotee. Of course, he was vicious of it. But externally, we see that he became a devotee because of the association with Narada Muni. So that's a point, you know, association. So he associated with Narada Muni while he was in the womb of Kayada, his mother. And he heard Krishna Katha. And as a result, he popped out of the womb and became a great devotee. I mean, that's another point. That if we expose people to Krishna consciousness, even if a child's in the womb, they'll actually become a devotee. And actually, I have one disciple here in Fiji who works in the hospital, and she delivers babies. She works in the delivery place. And she just chants to the baby, as soon as the baby's born, Hare Krishna, in the baby's ear. Of course, fortunately, the baby can't report that to her mother, who happens to be a Muslim. or whatever, Christian, or whatever other religion they are. You know, that you can get away with it because you won't get in trouble, because babies can't speak yet. So, anyway, so that baby is destined to be a devotee. I mean, just a little association, you know, a family member, or just like a moment's association, sadhu sangha, sarva-sashra-khoi, lava-matra, sarva-sangha, sarva-siddhi-khoi. And then one's assured of eventually becoming a Krishna-conscious devotee. I mean, just, there's so many stories. I mean, there's the Valmiki story, there's the Jagaya Madai story. I mean, so many stories are there, just like how one has association. And we have modern stories, too, where devotees come in contact, or someone hears the devotees chanting on Harinam, and eventually they become devotees. Or even myself, I heard Prabhupada chanting on the radio, and that affected me and changed my whole life. So that association is very important. So, Prahlad Maharaj, getting back to Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee, became a devotee, then he was able to liberate his father, and he was able to, and his whole dynasty at that point, they became devotees. It's a fact. I mean, even Bali Maharaj, who was his grandson, was a devotee, but he just had, you know, the wrong guru at the beginning. But he was a devotee, he was worshipping Vishnu. And when his guru told him not to worship Vishnu, then what happened? He refused to follow the order of his guru. So that whole family is just glorious. And Lord Vishnu also vowed never to kill any of the members of Prahlad Maharaj's family. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the Yadu dynasty, which is more famous than Priyavrata's dynasty, because Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. So we'll actually talk about the origin of the Yadu dynasty. We told the story the other day at Supa, but we can tell it again. How the Yadu dynasty was headed up by Yadu, obviously, therefore it's called the Yadu dynasty. So here's the story. So once upon a time, let's see, I don't know if we should start all the way from the beginning. Anyway, we'll start from the middle. So once upon a time, there were two girls, Devayani and Sarmishta. Some of you may remember me telling the story. And one girl, Devayani, was the daughter of Shukracharya. And Sarmishta was the daughter of Rishabharva, a king. So in other words, Devayani was a Brahmin girl, And Sarmishta was a Kshatriya girl. Because ladies also have varnas. This is true too. I mean, sometimes you see ladies who are good at managing or very brahminical, and other times you see ladies who are good at business. So men, ladies, they have varnas. Varnas are very important. And generally, you don't want to get a Brahmin girl married with someone from a lower caste. It doesn't work very well. In other words, if someone is really interested in philosophy and everything like that, and she marries a Kshatriya, then the Kshatriya is just interested in power, and he's giving his wife all this jewelry, and the wife is saying, well, what am I going to do with jewelry? But when you get below Brahmin, the wife really likes jewelry. So if you have a wife who really loves jewelry, you know she's not a Brahmin. No. You know, she decorates herself. Interested. Anyway, so that's the problem with what's called a pratilom marriage. Pratilom marriage, where it means a lady with a higher caste, a man with a lower caste. And so it doesn't work very well. And the other way it works, like if you have a Brahmin man, he can marry a Kshatriya lady. And this is an example, Kardama and Devahuti. You know, Kardama Muni, Devahuti, you know, the parents of Kapila Dev, Lord Kapila Dev, sorry. And that worked very well because she just followed her, she respected her husband. You know, because it's very important for the wife to respect the husband. Very, very important. Otherwise, it doesn't work. His male ego goes crazy. Isn't it? Actually, Chanika Pandit says, apriya vadana. If your wife speaks not pleasing words, aranya tena gantavyam yata aranyam yata graha. You know what that means? Then head for the forest. Because your house is already like a forest. So you might as well take advantage. Take one probably, you know. So, aranya tena gantavyam yata aranyam yata graha. Yeah, very interesting verse. Chanaka Pandit. Chanakya. So, anyway, so therefore, getting back to Devyani and Sarmishta, because it's the story I was telling. They're from different varnas. So, Devyani and Sarmishta had a fight, because one time Devyani, by accident, put on Sarmishta's clothes after they had been bathing. And Sarmishta, being a Kshatriya, was a strong lady. You know, Kshatriya ladies are strong. You don't want to confront them. It's like many times I've been in with a lot of devotees from Punjab. You know Punjab? Mm-hmm. They're very strong ladies, oh my God. The ladies from Bihar, you know, they're nice feminine, but anyway, ladies from Punjab. I mean, it's interesting, different parts of India, people are different. I mean, I was had an argument once with a gentleman from Rajasthan, a Rajput. And this gentleman, I disagreed with him, and he said, if you weren't a sannyasi, I'd kill you. So you got to be careful who you deal with. Anyway, so Sarmishta fought with Devyani and threw her into a well, and she took her clothes by. So Devyani was naked in a well. And then what happens is this king, Yayati, comes by riding his horse, he looks at the well, and he sees this naked girl at the bottom of the well. And of course, you know, obviously he's not going to say, that's your karma, Prabhu. He, you know, a Kshatriya doesn't do that. A Kshatriya is very chivalrous, you know, he's helping the ladies. Obviously there's a lady in the well. You don't say, you know, pray to Krishna and everything will be all right. He pulls her out of the well, and she says, marry me. Yeah, because he's seen her naked. You know, this is the Vedic system. Like when Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. And he says, not proper. It's a, you know, you're Brahmin, I'm a Kshatriya. And she says, well, actually, I've been cursed to not marry a Brahmin. She was cursed by a man named Kacha. There's a whole story which I'm not going to tell right now, but Kacha was the son of Brihaspati, so he cursed her because she wanted to marry him and he didn't. You know, they say hell hath no fury, like a with scorn. Anyway, I'll explain that verse later on, outside of class. So anyway, so it was like Urvasi, when she wasn't accepted by Arjuna, she got really angry. So anyway, so they got married. Yayati and Devayani got married. And Devayani complained to her father what her friend Sarmishta had done. Her father was Shukracharya, remember? And Shukracharya got so angry that with the king and his daughter, he was ready to curse them. The king said, all right, I'll donate my daughter as a servant of Devayani. So the servants, at that time when the king got married to a girl, all of her servants, and, you know, they're called maid servants, of course, all of her servants and friends, they went with her. And, you know, sometimes the king, or many times, the king would have children by these servants and friends. They were called, the servants actually were, children were called Dashi Putras. That means the sons, or Putris means the daughters of the Dashis, or the servants. Just like Vidura was a Dashi Putra. Because what happened is that Dhritarashtra, when his wife was pregnant, you know, was feeling romantic. Anyway. And, it's a whole story. Actually, no, that's not the story. So what happened, yeah, Vidura was the son of the Dashi because Amba didn't want to have a relationship with Vyasadeva. Yeah, that was the story. Anyway, there was another story where Dhritarashtra was feeling lusty and he had a relationship with a girl, and therefore there were 1,001 Kauravas, not just, 101 Kauravas, not just 100. So that's another story. That was, I believe, Vikarna. Yeah, that was Vikarna. So, anyway, so Sarmishta, who wasn't actually a Dashi, she was actually a Kshatriya, she went with Devayani. Yati got married to Devayani, and he had some children by Devayani, but Sarmishta approached him in a secluded place and said, hey, king, I love you. You know, anyway, and then Yayati, he understood, it was dharma for a king, actually. One of the aspects of being the king in the Vedic times, not now, is that when a lady approaches a proper lady, then you have to accept her as your wife. So there was a child or children born. And when Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya, discovered this, she was really angry. And she went to her father, Shukracharya, to complain. She said, Dad, look what this rascal husband has done. He's had a relationship with my maidservant, who was the one who actually threw me in a well. You know, this is nonsense. And the father said, how do you know he had a relationship? Well, she said, there's children. You know, obvious evidence, you know, children. So, and they look like him. It's like the children sometimes look like the parents, right? No, they often look like the parents. And if they don't, the parents think, whose child are you? Actually, there was one family in Suva where the son doesn't look so much like the parents. And the parents said, maybe they switch you in the hospital or something like that. You know, switch the babies in the hospital. Because you probably know who I'm talking about. Anyway, so therefore, Shukracharya got very angry, and he went to Yayati, you know, the husband of Devayani, and he said, oh, because you've offended my daughter, I curse you to become an old man. So all of a sudden, you know, he's a young, strong king, and all of a sudden, blah, all his energy goes out. You know, he still wants to be romantic, but, you know, doesn't have the pizzazz. You know, pizzazz, energy to be romantic. So he still has the same desires. Because when you get old, it's not that desires only go away when you chant Hare Krishna. Desires don't go away by getting old. You still have the same, because that's in the subtle body. Linga Shatina, the body of desires. It's nothing when you get old. I mean, just like in Suva, I was telling the story that in America, there's old people, because we have old people too. And the old people, they're so lusty, and then they've come up with this drug, this lust pill that they take. It's called Viagra. Don't look for it. I'm sure they sell it here too. And so, but it's illegal for old people to have it. You know, if you're over 80, you can't take that pill. Why? Heart attack. You know, obviously, you know, you're like, oh. And then all of a sudden you take a lust pill. Yes, it's quite dangerous. So there's like a black market. You know, black market? You know, it's like in drugs, like you go to the corner and there's someone selling marijuana, but you're like to buy some marijuana. So, same way with the old people, would you like to buy a lust pill? We have some lust pills for you. Don't let the police see me, they'll arrest me. Yeah, because it's illegal, because you kill people. And they die. And they do die, actually. That is actually. Just like when Prabhupada was preaching to this Cardinal Danilou in Paris. I don't know if you know the story. And this cardinal was just arguing with Prabhupada. Oh, we have to eat meat. You know, the animals are not, have no consciousness or no soul or something like that. And so later on they discover this old cardinal dead outside of a prostitute store. Did you know the story? Interesting. So lust doesn't go away. So anyway, so poor Yayati, he was just like old. And also Devyani didn't like the idea too, because, you know, she wanted joy. And who wants an old husband? It's pretty bad, you know. It's bad. Everybody likes a young, handsome, muscular husband, you know. Just an old man. So what happened is that Devyani went to her father and said, Dad, you know, this is not going to work out for me either. And Shukracharya said, all right. Your husband can get his youth back if one of your sons or his sons, either of them, parents, Devyani or Samishta, will give him their youth in exchange. So, this is actually part of the whole Yadu dynasties. Don't worry, I'm not telling somebody has no relationship. So, anyway, so he goes to his son, to several sons, but he goes to Yadu, who's the head of the Yadu dynasty, and he says, my dear son, Yadu, will you give me your youth? And Yadu says, no, Dad. And his reason is actually quite good, because he knows Krishna is going to occur in his dynasty, and he wants to become detached first, and he's youthful, you know, he wants to, I guess, experience certain things as a youth, you know, when you experience things, what do they say? Been there, done it, seen it. You ever heard that expression before? You know, for example, in my youth, I experienced a lot of things now I'm not interested in. For example, in my family, we had our own boats, our own airplanes. So when devotees talk about the romance of going on a boat and having a kirtan in a boat, I think it's stupid. Because I've already experienced this stupid thing, but people who've never done it, what do they think? Oh, isn't that nice? We'll go on a cruise ship. We'll chant Hare Krishna. But they don't understand the boat is rocking from side, and half the time you're throwing off the side of the boat. I mean, because they haven't experienced it. Or just like many of you want to migrate to New Zealand, Australia, North Pole, South Pole, you know, whatever. You want to migrate. And you think, oh, it's so nice. You know, but I've been there. Or people hear about some place in the world that's interesting. For example, many people, they want to go and see icebergs. You know what an iceberg is? It means big pieces of ice. And so they pay thousands of dollars to go on a cruise ship. so they can cruise through the icebergs, the, you know, South Pole or North Pole, whatever it is. And, you know, it's stupid. You can just look at a glass and put some ice cubes in it. I mean, just take a microscope and look at some ice cubes. It's the same thing. If you want to rock like in a boat, we'll put you on a rocking chair. We'll rock you back and forth until you get sick. But anyway, so the point is, when you've done something, then even though you may not be completely detached, but at least you've experienced it, so it's like, it's boring. It's actually boring to think about it. First time you do something, great. Second time, a little less great. I mean, but well, here's another funny thing. That, you know, in America, I preach a lot to the people who come from India. And I ask them, you know, when I'm giving a class, I ask, who here has been to Disney World? You've heard of Disney World before? Disney World's a big amusement park. Everyone raises their hand. Who here has been 2 times? Everyone raises their hand. 3 times? Everyone raises their hand. You know, we go up to about 5, 6 times. And I said, you know, this, because it's new to you, it's more attractive. You know, because it's like, so, therefore, back getting back to the point, Yadu said, no, I want to experience these things at least, so I can become detached. Otherwise, it's going to just prolong my life. I'll be old, and I'll get young again. And, you know, and then he understood he wanted Krishna to appear as soon as possible. So that was a pure devotee stating that. Really nice. Even though he disobeyed his father, which is against the Veda culture, he served Krishna. It's like Bali Maharaj disobeying his spiritual master. There's a higher principle. You know, there's lower principles and higher principles. And you have to have the discrimination to understand the difference between higher principles and lower principles. For example, Grandfather Bhishma did not know the difference. He had a lower principle of keeping his word. But there was a higher principle of protecting Draupadi. You know, I promised not to interfere. That's all right. It's my promise. That's okay, they can strip her. Right? Isn't that? I mean, stupid. You understand higher and lower principles here. You have to have that discrimination. The reason he lost his intelligence is he was associated with Duryodhana, taking food cooked in the kitchen of Duryodhana. I mean, that's another point. But still, we have to understand the difference. So Yadu understood the difference. And then, that's Yadu, the forerunner of the Yadu dynasty. And then there was another son named Puru who agreed to give his father the youth. And his father said, you are a first-class son. And Puru was also a great devotee, too. I'm not criticizing him, but Yadu was on a different level because Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. So Puru agreed, and Yayati began to enjoy for so many hundreds of years with Devayani, probably submission to it. And what happened ultimately, Yayati realized, hey, this is not getting me anywhere, it's not making me happy. You know, it's actually boring. You know, and he had many girlfriends too, not just Devayani. You know, that was a king. Kings weren't exactly loyal just to one wife, except for Lord Ram. Ram was Ekapati Vrata. So he realized, and he said to his wife, telling her his story, he said, we're just like goats. Imagine telling that to your wife. We're just like goats. I'm like a he-goat. I mean, and we described in Suva that the goats in India, they look like members of a particular religion because they have little beards. Here in Fiji, the goats are clean-shaven. Right? I've never seen a bearded goat here. Maybe you do have some, but I haven't. But most of your goats look kind of nice. So, but they, you know, they definitely have beards in India. So, So anyway, so he was describing, we're just like a goat, we're goats, and he gave a whole story about how he was like a goat that found a female goat in a well, and then he went to the female goat's master, married the goat, whatever, and then he had a relationship with another goat, and the master cut off, you know, his male organs. Anyway, he gave this whole story just to convince his wife that we better surrender to Krishna. And he does. He surrenders to Krishna. And he gives his son Puru back the youth, and Puru goes on to be one of the forerunners, ancestors of the Puru dynasty, which is a dynasty in which the Pandavas appeared. You know, Arjuna is sometimes called Pururuva, which means he's a descendant of Puru. I mean, it's a whole story. I mean, there's many. If you go to the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a chart there of the whole, all the dynasties, beginning with Lord Brahma, of course, Lord Brahma, and then you have Manu, you know, Swayambhuva Manu, and other Radhus, and then they branch out, and everyone's related to everyone else, just like we are all related to each other, because we all come ultimately from Krishna, Lord Brahma. So, anyway, that's the story of Yadu. And because he's such a great devotee, then Krishna's dynasty is called. That's nice, isn't it? Even though he appeared many generations before Krishna, this is not, he's not just like an immediate predecessor before Krishna. Krishna's called a Yadava. So it's very important, you know, because of a pure devotee. And also because we are, I'm not from the Yadava dynasty. Although one devotee said that anyone born in a Jewish family would be considered Yadu, Judu, you know, whatever. They made it play on words. But we're not from the Yadu dynasty, but we are in Prabhupada's family. So that's our claim to fame. We are Prabhupada Anugas. Does that make sense? Prabhupada Anugas means we are Prabhupada's family. And Prabhupada said that when people ask us what gotra we're in, we should say Achyuta Gotra. You know, you go to India, you go to the temples, you say, what's your gotra? Achyuta Gotra. Who's your father? Prabhupada. And I tried that one time, they wouldn't let me in the temple. He went to, that is either, I think it was the Sakshi Gopal temple. Yeah, here we are. He went to the Sakshi Gopal temple, which is right before you get to Jagannath Puri. But Sakshi Gopal is the witness Gopal who, you know, walked all the way across India. A beautiful deity. And so I was with a group of devotees, and one devotee was from Gujarat, another one was from somewhere else, South India. And he said, I'm a Brahmin from South India, let him in. I'm a Brahmin from Gujarat, let him in. I said, I'm a Brahmin from New York. And they said, no. I said, who's your father? I said, A.C. Bhakti Brahmin. He still didn't let me in. And then I threatened them. I said, Krishna's going to be very displeased with you. And then a lightning bolt, it's an interesting story, hit right out, you know, about 10 meters away. Boom, the whole ground was shaking. I said, okay, you better let me in. They still didn't let me in. Terrible. Okay, anyway, so that's the story of the Yadu dynasty. Any questions or comments? Or problems? If not, we can greet the deities and have a good puja. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to the divine grace. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada. Ki jai. We've got a lot of people watching it, and from all over the world. Say hello. But usually we have a lot of devotees, but they're all sleeping right now. They stay up late till 1, 2 o'clock. I remember hearing people talking at 1:30 this morning. Late to bed, late to rise, makes a person unwise.